Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. We love that we get a chance to talk to him just about once a week, and it's always at this time, 4:15 on Thursdays. Steve, if I told you the Steelers could trade the 20th pick in the draft for Brandon Ayuk, but then they had to turn around and give him the same contract that the Eagles just gave Devontae Smith, would you do that?
Yeah, I think I would do that. I'm a big fan of those moves. I know you got to pay the money, but I really think there's only, 10 wide receiver difference makers, maybe a few more in the NFL. And I think Ayuk has put himself in that conversation. I mean, when I came out 2 years ago when the Eagles made that move for A.J. Brown, and I think A.J. Brown's a better player than Ayuk, but when they made that move, I thought that was the best selection in the first round that any team could have made, which was the Eagles taking whatever pick, 18, trading that for A.J. Brown, paying him the money, and it immediately transformed their offense and transformed Jalen Hurts. So I don't think Ayuk is as good as A.J. Brown, but I'm a big fan of those kinds of moves because you're also paying for some certainty, which is, we're getting this elite caliber receiver.
Steve, how do you separate Ayuk's individual abilities and what he could do for an offense like the Steelers versus the fact that he's in that San Francisco offense where, well, there's a lot of weapons and it's really well designed?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think Ayuk's more the route runner of that bunch. Not taking anything away from George Kittle or Christian McCaffrey, but those guys are schemed open a little bit. I think they benefit from the space more than anyone. I think with Ayuk, you can see when he's one-on-one, he is a slick route runner at every level, good ball skills. So I think they're all aided by the scheme, the surrounding, the supporting cast and everything. But I think Ayuk is a fantastic route runner who can really attack the intermediate level of the field, down the field as well. And I think he can do that in any system.
Steve, how about a similar move, but instead of getting the premium receiver like Ayuk, you go down a tier or two and you make a trade like that where you give up a lower pick and you pay him a little bit less money and you do it with Cortland Sutton instead of Ayuk?
Yeah, I think I'm less likely to want to do that, but I don't hate it, especially in this draft. I'll tell you, I think most drafts, I usually look at the depth and I say, it's tough looking at, say, players 30 through 60. Or 30 through 70. And, back when I was doing PFF draft boards, I struggled, sorting some of those guys out thinking, hey, I kind of like player 60. Do I like them that much worse than player 30? Not really. I don't love this draft beyond the top 30, 35 players, whatever you want to call it, somewhere in that range. I think of all the years to maybe trade some draft picks for either future draft picks or for current NFL players, it feels like this one is the one to do it. Maybe not in the first round. I do love that top 20, 25, 30 players. But I think rounds, especially when you get into the middle of round two and beyond, I would do more trade for established NFL player plus the contract type of moves, just the way the depth of the draft is, in my opinion.
Steve, we were reviewing some anonymous scout takes on two guys the Steelers have been connected to.
Oh, you know about that Bob McGinn article that makes the rounds every year, Steve.
It's hilarious every time. It's amazing, yeah.
So which one of these do you think is more valid? On Amarius Mims, an anonymous scout says he might end up being the biggest bust in the draft, mainly owing to just the lack of experience. Or on Graham Barton, why put a 6'5 guy at center? He wouldn't have a chance. What do you think is a more legitimate anonymous scout critique there?
I mean, Creed Humphrey's 6'5" and one of the best centers in the league, so that's immediately invalid. Amarius, and, you know, the league seems to want these big, you know, brute force type of centers. Not that that's what Barton is. So Amarius Mims, I saw the other quote on Mims that was comparing him to Isaiah Wilson of Georgia, who played 3 snaps and they were all kneels. That's way more invalid. But I guess, I mean, I get the Mims question marks just because there haven't been too many tackles with that little experience over the last few years. And the only, I think the risk with Mims isn't so much bust. It's just that I think linemen take time to develop. And so is he going to take more time? Is it going to take him to year 2 or 3, whereas someone else it might be a little bit sooner? I think that's the question. But Mims is a good-looking player. So that 6'5 center thing, I think, is kind of ridiculous.
Steve Palazzolo, PFF, our guest. Steve, so one of the things that we've seen today is that Brian Thomas, the LSU wide receiver, some discussion about him being the Steelers' pick at 20. Do you think that that's a better move than taking Mims or taking Barton? And instead of taking the best center available or the second best right tackle, you take a freakishly athletic wide receiver who scored a ton of touchdowns in college.
Yeah, so the Steelers will probably make that move because I'm lower on Brian Thomas Jr. maybe than the consensus. So that just to keep our conversations fresh, you know, so I can question their moves. But I think the Steelers might look at this and say, look, what's our strength? We have a history of hitting on second and third round wide receivers. And the draft, the strength of the draft is this receiver class, right? There's probably 15 guys that could go in the top 80, 90, 100 picks. So I think there's that scarcity issue. It's harder to find tackles later in the draft that are good and that are starters. So I think you lean in to get the starting offensive lineman, come back with the receiver later. I get Brian Thomas Jr. I get the love for him. I don't think he's not as polished of an all-around receiver, in my opinion. I know some people absolutely love him, and I think he's a legitimate deep threat. I just saw a lot of inconsistency and body catching, and I love the downfield upside that Brian Thomas Jr. has. I just like him as a complementary piece more than a, you know, alpha number one wide receiver, and I think that's, you know, one of the reasons I'd be a little bit lower on Brian Thomas and would rather him in the, you know, closer to the second round.
Steve, I like asking you questions about, like, totally off-the-board things that I haven't even brought up to Pony, so here's one.
Like his take on the NWO's Wolfpack?
No, actually. I wasn't going to do a Wolfpack take here. I was using my trusty PFF mock draft simulator. I had all the sliders set around neutral, so I was trying to just keep it a nice controlled draft. And I opted not to take the following player who was available to me at pick 20 because he did not fit a glaring positional need. But Brock Bowers was there at 20. If that actually happened to the Steelers in this draft, and Brock Bowers was sitting available at 20, would you advise that they take him over any other position that they would have more needs at, or no?
I would. I am a big believer, and I don't think any team actually does this. I am a big believer in literally taking the best players available and almost ignoring your current roster if you do it the right way and avoiding the bias. And you can make Brock Bowers work. I mean, he's immediately your slot receiver. He's immediately your number one slot. I think he's a top 10 player in this draft. And you do that. Absolutely. I think that would be a great move. I don't care that, you know, you make it work with Pat Freiermuth and Darnell Washington. You just make it work. And I think that the tight end name and label for Brock Bowers, it's similar to what Buffalo did with Dalton Kincaid. They said, hey, he's our big slot. He's our receiver. They fed him the ball. Bowers is a better prospect than Kincaid, and he is an absolute weapon and playmaker. I would sprint to the podium to make that move anywhere, you know, 15 or later in this draft.
I'm just scarred by how unimpressive he looked in a t-shirt at the Super Bowl when he was around large people, especially like Gronk. Did you see him in person?
I mean, yeah, I was looking down on him. He looked small compared to me, obviously. But I'm not going to lie, that got me a little bit as well. He looked tiny compared to Gronk. He looked tiny.
He looked like an insurance salesman.
He did. Ugh. He did. But I just rewatched the tape again yesterday just to, like, freshen things up. He is so good, though. He's so good at football. So I try not to let the Super Bowl in-person experience, you know, really, like, sway my opinions there.
All right, so just to be clear to end this conversation, if Michael Penix Jr. was number 5 on the Chiefs board, you would say take him with the 32nd pick if you were their GM?
I always put QBs in a different bucket. That's a little different. I think QB is a little bit more need based. I am a believer they'll keep taking him though. But if you already have the guy, Mahomes, if you're like the five teams in the NFL that are really comfortable with their QBs, they need to load up on all non QBs and just go
Steve,
from there.
Steve, then I'll ask you a serious question because we had Aditi Kinkabwala on yesterday, and she said that her belief is the Steelers are not done at quarterback, and their scouts are still looking at like late day two, early day three quarterbacks as potential picks. Who's a good quarterback in that range who you like?
Spencer Rattler's the name you're always going to hear. I don't know if he's a second or a third round pick. It, you know, it depends on how far Penix and Nix fall, I would say, if those guys end up in the second. Spencer Rattler's the name. I think everyone beyond that, Michael Pratt would be the other one that comes up from Tulane. I don't know if anyone beyond that is, I don't know if there's a next Brock Purdy, you know, very rare type of case there, but
I think those are the guys I'd look at.
Oh, I don't know. I don't have a good comp off the top of my head. I have a funny Michael Pratt story if you have a second.
Please, of course.
When I watch film wherever I can, you know, and during Christmas time, I have an elf costume. My family was out of town. And I dressed up as Elf to pick them up at the airport. And I was sitting at the airport dressed up as Elf watching Michael Pratt film, waiting for them to land before I, you know, greeted them at the gate. So that's what Michael Pratt reminds me of during this draft cycle. That's my comp.
Did you get any strange looks from people who are like, here's a man watching Tulane film dressed as an elf?
They didn't know I was watching film, but everybody was waving at me and yelling, hey, buddy! And, yeah, I got a lot of cheers and everything. A lot of people liked it.
I'm not going to tell the story. Yeah, I'll tell the story on the air later.
I had to dress up as Santa Claus at like Alex's family gathering, my wife's family, before we were married, like right before I was going to propose that previous Christmas, so 2015. 2014. And I had to dress up as Santa, and all the kids actually were like, hey, oh my God, this is Santa, and I could not break character.
I was late for a Thanksgiving because I used to have a rule that I had to watch every game from the previous Sunday back before the next Sunday's game started. And because there's the early Lions early game on Thanksgiving, I was like two games behind, and I like vowed to myself to finish those before I left for Thanksgiving.
You're psychotic. Well, I know.
I love it.
Thank
That's
you, Steve.
Good rule. It's a really good rule.
We'll talk next week. See ya.
Thanks, guys.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.